Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, friends, and thanks for tuning into this week's edition of Raising Expectations. And you know what we're here for. You know what we're all about. We appreciate you. I thank you in advance for the texts and things that you send me and the way that we're grateful God's working in your life. We are all blood-bought, born-again believers. We love the Lord Jesus Christ, and this show is all about what God can do in your life. We try to bring on people that we know, love the Lord, and have testimonies that are just amazing as to how they help people and what God does in their lives. So we hope that once again, by looking to the Lord and hearing the message of the wonderful folks that take of their time to be with us each week, you will have your expectations raised. Your strength will be stronger than when you tuned in. You'll be encouraged and ready to rock and ready to go the rest of this week. So again, thanks for tuning in. Raising Expectations is really your show, and we're blessed to be here with you each week. And I want you to know, we count it a privilege and an honor that you take the time to be with us each week, and we count it a privilege and an honor for the times that you share with us the things that are happening in your life and what God's doing. Thanks for that. And pray for us. We need your prayers, too, because when we're all praying together, whoa, watch out what God can do. He's amazing, simply amazing. So. We've got a wonderful show tonight. Hope you've been reading about it on the social media. We're on 5 platforms now, so if you want to watch us live right now, you go to BBS Radio TV. You know all about that. You also know we're on Facebook right now, live, and LinkedIn, and Twitter, and all the other ones. Elon Musk is going to find us any day, we know. In any event, we're excited about how God's getting the word out to people. Our team of co-hosts are the best people you'll ever meet. I'm Pastor Joe Schofield. You already know me. And I'm blessed after all these years as a pastor to be able to be with us each week. God's blessed in a wonderful way with this program. He's brought about the most wonderful people you can imagine. And I get to share them with you each week. And you get to know them. And you get to read about them on our page right there at BBS Radio. And right here, you'll want to find it. And well, actually, that's my book. I hope you want to read that, too. That's the new book, Legitimate Faith, which produces authentic hope for you. And hopefully that'll encourage you. Zig Ziglar put a great word in there for me. In fact, he named the book for me. He was my mentor. So moving right along now from the East Coast, the South to the West Coast. Let's start on the West Coast. We always do with my friend of over 50 years, Dr. Paul Hall, who's in Lompoc, California. Lompoc is called what, Paul?
Rocket Town, USA.
Rocket Town, USA. We love to call it that. And Paul is he's a man of God. He's a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He loves the Word of God. He loves people. And his heart shows how much he loves the Word of God because he doesn't leave it at his head. He lives it through his life. It comes out of his heart and the way he teaches and works with and cares about people. You can always tell the heart of someone by the way they work with people. We're excited that Paul's here, and he's been a great part of my life. I don't have a real brother, but I got Paul. He's my real brother for 50-something years. We have wreaked havoc and terror. Excuse me. We have evangelized and shared in a lot of states across America, and it's always a blessing to get together. One of these days, we'll tell you some of those stories, huh, Paul? Maybe not.
That's right, yeah.
Maybe it'll be good. But in any event, moving right along from the West Coast to the South. South, just south of the East. Which is there in, it's close, huh, Ron? just close. It's right there in Georgia. And we're excited because we have, first of all, Stephanie Thayer is there tonight. Steph and Dr. Craig Thayer. Craig won't be with us tonight. Dog is out of town. Well, he won't be with us just for a little bit here tonight. And Steph is the CEO and founder, as you know, of Quenching Wells. We really believe she's about the best health and wellness coach you're going to find anywhere in the world. She loves the Lord. She shares it once again with her heart, helping people to know who they are, body, soul, and spirit, what to eat, how to exercise, how to make the temple of God the strongest you could ever imagine, and what to do about that. And she's got people all over that follow her. I had a good talk with her husband today about the way she blesses the lives of people, and especially his. It's so exciting to watch what God does. So, Steph, we're glad you're here, and we're glad we see what you're doing tonight. And we will continue to say, go to the website, Raising Expectations, on BBS Radio/Raising Expectations, and read all about what happens with Quenching Wells. Find out what she does and get a hold of her. Let her know let Paul know. All of us are on there about how God's working in your lives. We're here to pray for you and get to know you, and that's what we're about. So, Tank will be with us again next week. And again, somebody said to me again this week, Stephanie, why did you call him Tank? I usually say that a lot, but at 6 foot five?
Yeah.
6 foot five, I call him anything he wants me to call him. No question. It's good with me. So today when I saw him, I just said, okay, Tank, we're ready to rock and roll here. So moving right along from the south there in the great state of Georgia, we'll move back to the great state in South America, as Ron called it, Tank called it last week, South America, the great state of Texas. I thought that was good. And our favorite pastor there in McKinney, who's in the center of the state, kind of holds it all together, Pastor Ron Greer. And Ron works with the man in the mirror. He's a great men's counselor. He was a great pastor. He helps men to understand whatever they're going through. God's in it with them. And the neat thing about it, when you finish talking to Ron, you know he's going to bless you. He's going to take you through it. And you're going to discover when you look over your shoulder, wow, look what God was doing in my life. So Ron is one of those guys you'll want to get to know. Read about him. Check out the website. He's on there. And Man in the Mirror is a great organization. And like we say, Texas is better because Ron's there. So we're glad, right? Ron is good. So we're so really good. So tonight, that's kind of the team. Tonight, we got four of us. Have we got somebody special again to share with you? Coming all the way from Big D, Dallas, Texas. That's still called Big D, right, Ron? Just have to stop and think there. You know, he is Dr. Harold Duncan, who is, I had my notes right here, but I really don't need him because I know him so well. He's such a good friend, but he's been a blessing in my life. He is going to take us through, as you've been reading all week, scripture, and share from his vast experience as a counselor. He's an incredible counselor. You're going to feel it because he not only knows what he says, but through his heart, much like we say Tank and his trauma surgeon ministry, he feels what he says, and he shares what he says from a heart of love. And people relate and grow and find peace in their lives through Christ and through his experiences of helping them. So tonight we're going to introduce you once again. He's a renowned Christian counselor. He's our friend, but I hope he's your friend also. And as you tune in tonight, we'll give you the information later where you can find him. So we want to welcome from Dallas, and there he is. In fact, right there, there's his phone number. Let's take a second. You can email him there. There's his phone number, a little bit about him right there. We'll put that up a little later for you also with a website for you to find. And he's going to be with us right now. So we want to give him the round of applause. And we'll start that in the south with Steph. She launches us or the central area. Welcome, Harold, to Raising Expectations. Yeah, there we go. Can you see us? We usually use the 20th Century Fox, but people like this better. So
I'll take whatever I can get, Joe. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation to be here, and thanks for the other co-host. Paul, you said Rocket City, is that what you said?
Rocket Town, yes.
Rocket Town, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. Well, I want to tell you that I was born in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, which is the Atomic City. So I don't know how those two may converge, but people, when they find that out, they ask me when I grew up, I glowed in the dark because we were not that I know of, not yet anyway. Yeah.
I got to watch another SpaceX launch this past week.
Oh,
and boy, and the sky was crystal clear. It was so fun. Yeah,
it was.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. But
No, not at all. I'm really happy to be here, and we're going to talk about mothers, and I'm really hoping that I'm not the only one who's talking about mothers. So y'all jump in anytime. I tell you, at church yesterday, for Mother's Day, the preacher made a comment. I hadn't heard this before, but he said, you know, nothing is ever really lost until your mother can't find it.
True.
Mothers can find anything. Of course, Mother's Day, very special day, honoring very, very special people. But I want to start off just by saying, you know, what many of us already know, that there are many ways to be a mother and a father as well. And mothers can have many children biologically, emotionally, and spiritually. And in Luke 18, verses 28 through 30, Peter reminded Jesus, as if he had to remind Jesus of this. He said, "We have left all and followed you." To which Jesus replied, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come, eternal life." And so, like a child can have many mothers and many fathers. And I think that's one of the most wonderful blessings of being a person of faith. I can look back over my life and I can name dozens of mothers and dozens of fathers in addition to my own biological parents. And I think everybody who is a person of faith can also experience that, you know, our extended children and our families. And it really is a remarkable blessing. So one other thing I'll say by means of introduction, I want to give you a website, a video to go to, because the introduction to this is that there's no doubt in my mind that we are created by our Creator. We're created for connections. Hmm. And when He created the man and the woman in the garden, He created them to be connected with each other. I think He also created them to be connected with the wonderful world that He had just created. And I think He also created them to be connected with Him, which they kind of sort of messed up to a point. But then we've got redemption that makes us able to reconnect. But I want to share with you one of the most amazing videos that I've ever seen in my life, because I think there's no better example of connectedness than there is the connection between a mother and a child. Mm. And that connection begins, in my judgment, my belief, at the very moment of conception. Mm. Okay, so here's the guy's name. First name is Alexander. His last name I'll spell for you. It's T-S-I-A-R-I-S. T-S-I-A-R-I-S. I think it's pronounced
Sar.
Okay. I'll spell it again. No. It's on TED.com. So if you log on to TED.com, look for Alexander Sarius. He is not a theologian. He is an artist. He's a photographer. He's a journalist. And he's a mathematician. And what he has put together in this video is an animation of what the development of a child looks like from the very moment of conception. And like I said, it's the most amazing video that I have ever seen. It's been online for many years. I've seen it a dozen times or more, and I never get tired of watching it. But here's the message, and I won't belabor this point any more than I already have. the message from the author of this animation is that the process that is required once a human egg is fertilized, that whole process until the birth of the child is so delicate and so intricate and so dependent upon each previous step that it is, according to this mathematician, it is mathematically impossible that it happens by chance. Mm-hmm. Mathematically impossible. The process demands a design and therefore a designer, which he refers to as divinity. It also, this old video talks, shows very, very specifically what goes through in the development of the child, but what goes through the birth mom and anatomically what has to happen in order for her to give birth to that child. And you watch that video and you will come away saying, thank you, mothers. Thank you for all that you do in the process leading up to the giving of birth, but all of the things that happen after those children are born as well. So that's my introduction. And so the theme that I want us to kind of play out the rest of our program here is that we are all a part of God's tapestry.
Amen.
And when you take the big picture to look at it, God is weaving a tapestry out of our lives, and the tapestry is, I started to say it's miles long, but it'd be more accurate to say it is centuries long, and every piece of that tapestry is essential. I would imagine some of you, and probably several of our viewers and listeners tonight, have been to France and have visited the city of Bayeux and seen the Bayeux tapestry. The Bayeux tapestry is an embroidered cloth that is nearly 230 feet long and about 20 inches tall. It's a historical tapestry that depicts the events leading up to the Norman conquest of England, culminating in the Battle of Hastings. So it's supposed to have been created about the 11th century, and it is amazing that document, that cloth tapestry, has survived over the centuries. So I said I'm not going to talk so much, so I'm getting ready to not talk so much. but to finish that introduction, conception to birth, the video that you are going to watch, and maybe you've already seen, that is a tapestry that goes step by step by step by step, each successive step dependent upon each previous step. The genealogy of Jesus is a tapestry. Mm-hmm. Every player in that genealogy plays a vital role. And without each previous person, then Jesus would not have happened. It would not have been possible for Jesus to have happened. Now, when you study the genealogy of Jesus, you know, there are some people in that genealogy that are a little bit sketchy, okay? And there are some people, if I were choosing those ancestors of Jesus, I probably wouldn't have chosen them. Thankfully, it was not up to me to make those choices. God did choose each and every person, and he chose each and every person for a very vital and specific purpose. So one of God's blessings, greatest blessings, is to have a godly mother and who is a part of our tapestry. That's what I want you to take away from this by the time we're finished today, is to recognize, as if you didn't already, but who came before you, mother and father, grandparents, great-grandparents, and who is coming after you. And just recognize that each one of us is a part of God's tapestry in our mm-hmm. lives. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I'm going to pause for a minute. because I want to hear somebody else's voice besides mine.
Well, I'm a mama. I'm the only mama on the panel, so I feel like I get to go. I hesitated yesterday because I put something on my social media that was about I refuse to be called a birthing person.
Yes.
And I'm not easily offended. I think people overuse that, but it is really ridiculous. It is offensive. And one of the things that I like to share about becoming a mom, and this isn't to take away from, I have so many friends that have adopted. My husband was adopted. So not every mama gets to experience what happens to you physically, but literally it's an out of body experience. Like nobody warns you what's going to happen. It's amazing. You realize you create life, but some days you're wondering what's happening. How much bigger can I possibly get? How is the baby going to come out? I mean, there's a million questions. And there's definitely a sisterhood that, you know, we help each other out. But when you deliver that baby and right away, you know, the breast milk comes in, it's horrible. And like your body just knows exactly what to do. You hear the cry and you already know the difference of the cry. I can't even explain what happens. And I don't mean this disrespectfully to any woman that has not become a mother, but there is something so different that happens in you so quickly. And I remember I'm a bonus mom, so I have three stepchildren, and I got this crash course in mommying. Oh, Lord help us all. We all survived, but it was hard. But when I had my first biological child, I remember thinking, like, this is a love I have never experience. And it's very different. I don't know how to explain it, but there's something that's why you see us go mama bear. It's why you see us go protective. Like there is nothing better that I could do in my life than raise these little people to be humans that love the Lord. I don't care what they do. I don't care. Right. That's like, I think most moms' hearts that are active and participating. And then I also want to say something else, because in case I don't get a chance, but not everyone had a great mom. Not everybody had a great grandma. And so I always like to say there are multiple opportunities at this, right? You had your examples, you get an opportunity of what you want to be, and you also get an opportunity of what you want to be as a grandparent. And sometimes that mom figure that you got was an aunt or your best friend's mom or whatever. And so I think just to remember that there are a lot of mamas that probably have rallied around you in your life and loved you even when you were, you know, not the most lovable, right? I see Ron smiling. Yes.
Well, not me.
Me too. I mean, my best friend.
I know some people did, but.
My best friend's mom took me in and I, you know, she didn't have to do any of that. And I'm forever grateful. I'm sure I was a horrendous teenager at the time.
Well, I think you're exactly right, because I have two women to this very day who I still call mom. And it confuses people, because especially when they meet my biological mother and they'll see the one Lorraine, I call her mom. She and my mom look similar to most people when they're not next to each other. So it confuses them. And then I have a third woman who are also called mom. And primarily because they were godly women that were part of my life, both as a kid growing up and also in my adult years. My mom, you know, she's a little crazy and she didn't quite understand me.
So, I'm sure you were an easy child.
She misunderstood me. That's what it was.
Welcome aboard. And,
so mom Lorraine, my other mom, they were sort of the go-betweens. You know, they took the pressure off of mom. And they were both mothers who could come and kind of grab me by the collar and put their finger in my face and talk to me. And of course, it was a different dynamic than with my mother, my biological mother. And primarily because I knew they were godly women and they weren't getting anything out of me. They weren't giving me anything. So you knew for a fact they genuinely cared. It wasn't because they had to. So that's one thing I remember as a kid. And when I got saved and got back home, those women were still, and to this day, well, one's dead, but the other one's still in part of my life to this day. So it reminds me of, you look at, say the Whitfield brothers, right? John and George Whitfield. And if you read their story, there's not a lot about their dad. There's a whole lot about their mom, though. And she was an amazing woman that poured those two boys and saw the results of that. And then you see people like Vodi Bakum, or there are a number of godly men who were touching thousands of lives who didn't have father figures and who had these mothers in their lives who really said, I don't care if you don't have what everybody has, and I don't care what the neighborhood looks like, you're still going to learn these things. So, yeah, you have a mother in your life that that is deeply engaged, and then you have these other women to come along to sort of help them. It's an amazing gift from God. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of Paul's writing to Titus, too. He says, you older women, you teach the younger women. You teach mm-hmm. them how to love their husbands, how to care for their children, how to act without causing controversy, you know, how to think. You know, so there's this constant theme for older women to always pour into younger women. Now, I will say, Paul also does the same the other side. You older men, you know, you pour into younger men, you know, teach them mm-hmm. these things. Right? And if you who've learned these things, all right, now pour into faithful men who might be important to faithful men. So he goes on both sides, that you need these spiritual mothers and fathers along with your biological father, and then you need these spiritual aunts and uncles and grandmothers and grandfathers. If you don't have those, you're really missing out in your spiritual development and personal development.
Well, just picking up on that, Ron. Thanks for that, and you too, Stephanie. As tough as being a woman is, and it is, and as tough as giving birth, I don't think any man can ever appreciate, can ever understand what you have just said. Thanks for sharing that. Paul wrote to Timothy about his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And these were two women, godly women, women of faith. And you know what? I don't think we know anything else about them except that they were Timothy's mother and grandmother, and that they instilled a deep and abiding faith in him. We don't know how they came to know the Lord. We don't know if they were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost and heard the apostles preach and became believers because of that. We don't know. We can speculate if we want to, but we do know the lasting impact that they had on Timothy's life, and of course the impact that he had on many, many other lives.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
So in the sermon that I was at yesterday, we attended a little Baptist church right around the corner. It was really wonderful, not our normal church. And the pastor said that when children have questions about faith, 61% of the time they go to their mother. And it makes sense, you know, if you're in a traditional household, we're around more. We've probably been doing more of that since we were young. But I think just as moms having open communication, one thing I've really tried to do with all five of our kids is just to allow them to tell me anything. And sometimes internally I'm, oh my gosh, what are they, you know, but I'm so glad that they're coming to me and telling me things rather than their friend or whoever on the internet, right? And trusting that, because I think it does go back to that statistic that if they're seeking, they're probably going to come talk to their mom.
You just reminded me of a story that I love. My dad grew up in a little town in Middle Tennessee, and he was the youngest of 12 children. And I was blessed to be able to know his mother for several years before she passed away. And she was just a devout, godly woman. They went to church at this little church in town. And the story is told that when the teenagers were meeting, they were having an event. Sometimes they would have a hunt? You go and look.
Scavenger.
Yeah, scavenger hunt. So the kids,
good idea.
You go find this person, go find this, and go find this. So sometimes on the scavenger hunt, they said go find somebody who's reading their Bible. And the kids always went to my grandmother's.
They knew.
They knew that they were going to find her reading her Bible. And most of the time, they were right about that. But that's, isn't that just a great legacy to have? And she, of course, she passed that down to all of her children, including my dad. And very thankful for that.
That's great.
And, you know, I don't, your kids, and this is true for dads, too. Your kids don't care so much what you're saying. It's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of things I didn't know about my dad's upbringing. I mean, really wholesome house. And I knew my grandparents well, and they were married like 69 years when they both passed, and just kind of a beautiful story. My grandfather would always hold my grandma's hand, tell her she was the most beautiful girl in the room, just very, very sweet. But what I learned after they passed, because my dad is a total minimalist, and he's like, "Do you want the pictures?" "Yes, I want all the pictures, Dad." I'm not a minimalist, obviously. So he sent me extra stuff. And when I was going through things, I had all these questions, and I didn't know that my grandparents also lived in that home the majority of my dad growing up. And they passed away when he was 17. So he basically had like four parents. And I got all the family Bibles, and there are little notes inside of them. I mean, I love looking at, you know, what they've written in their Bible, but little meetings. And my great grandmother was in charge of mission meetings, and she was a master seamstress, and she would sew these little prayer hands that would become like for your book, you know. And I sat down, and it was amazing, because we do all this mission work. There were all these things I did not know three generations before, but they had been passed down. My dad always talked so openly with me about faith, and I saw it from my parents, but I don't even know what happened before that. And so I think sometimes we miss out on what our legacy could be. And I mean, on the other side of my family, there really wasn't much faith, right? I'm not saying everybody's going to come from a squeaky, you know, perfect little thing, but it was really a beautiful thing to learn. And then I wish that I would have known that younger, or that somebody would have sat and shared that with me, or said like, "Hey, do you want to open up the Bible together?" Like, we would play games all the time at my grandparents, but I probably would have rolled my eyes, but I think I would have appreciated it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, "Oh, not again."
But it would have stuck, right?
One of the things we all know is that having a sincere faith, like y'all are describing, does not imply perfection. Of course, there's no such thing as a perfect parent, never has been, never will be. Except for Ron.
Except for Ron.
Except Ron.
But like you're saying, Stephanie, I think it's really an interesting challenge to look at the bigger picture as far as we can. Mm-hmm. I want to get into just a few biblical examples of moms. And these are pretty self-explanatory. Many are self-explanatory and self-understanding. Eve, we'll talk about Eve. She's called the mother of all the living. Her story is found in Genesis 1 through 4. And, of course, very important Bible mother. And on top of that, what do we know about her role as a mother? Not much. You may know more than I do, but we don't know very much. We do know the names of some of her children. We know about the temptation in the garden, and we know that some of her children, her three most well-known children, Cain and Abel and Seth. I will counsel sometimes in my office with women who feel like a failure as a mother. Well, you know, as a family therapist, you ask yourself the question, now, what was this relationship between Cain and Abel? Like, how functional was Cain? Not very. We don't have any background. We don't know what their relationship was like before Cain took his brother's life. But I know today a lot of parents would be questioning themselves as parents. What did I do wrong, or what did I not do that I should have done? And I think a better question frequently is, where did Cain go wrong? You know, he's the one who made the decision. And we don't have any indication that Adam or Eve were responsible for Cain's decision to do violence and to kill his brother. But, you know, most of us have no real training in parenting. We just kind of fly by the seat of our pants and we ask God for guidance.
And we ask first child.
And forgiveness. Yeah, that's right. But I have a sense that this whole thing about parental guilt may be a fairly recent phenomenon. I don't know that for sure. And I'm not blaming Sigmund Freud for all of that. I think he may have had a big role to play with that.
I think it was Dr. Spock.
Maybe so.
I can tell you, my grandparents and my great grandparents and even my mother, they have no regrets at all. It's like they have no responsibility at all.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now you're on you.
That's probably a healthy place for them to be.
Stephanie, do you have a thought there?
Oh yeah, I was just thinking that Friday mornings I do a Bible study with some gals in my little town, and one of the girls she's very, very pregnant. And she just said, I'm feeling overwhelmed, you know, and she has a toddler, and I don't know, like, we have it so easy now. And how did the ladies do it back in the day? And we were all talking, we said, no, actually. We believe it was more communal. And so the ladies, even if you were in a village or in huts, there was this teamwork and this kind of like what you were saying, Ron, you had mom 1, 2, 3, right? Obviously mom 1 is the one that you lived with, but you know, across the street, she was going to put you in check. She was going to give you a chore. She was going to love on you. And so I think there's so much missing from that, which goes back to what was God's intention for the church for us, Acts 2, it's talking about it, you know, they're gathering, they're doing life together. And I think there's a lot to be said for that, and that we're missing that.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly. It's one of the issues we address constantly with training, you know, volunteer groups and also training men's leadership. It's trying to get churches to go change their culture and mentality to go back to a community focus. Relational community as opposed to a congregation. And sometimes you say it and they look at you and go like, what? It's, you know, I go back to my childhood in Tennessee, and you know, we were literally, I know it makes some people cringe now, but we would leave the house in the morning because you couldn't stay inside. And the only rule is be back here for lunch. Do not come in the house, be on the porch when I bring it out. Yeah. And you finish your lunch, clean up. Okay, now go be back before dusk dark. And we would literally go miles away from home. And your prayer was no one would see you doing something wrong and call your parents.
You did.
The relief was if Miss Emma or Miss Suzanne or Miss Wayne grab you by the ear and then spank you, you go, thank you, Lord. And she didn't call your mom.
That's right.
But because first of all, there wasn't this modern phenomenon where a parent got all upset and enraged because you touched my child.
Yeah.
You know, they would get enraged and go, how dare you embarrass me in front of somebody else? Or how dare you act like that in front of somebody else? And somehow, like, I didn't raise you. And then you would get another, you know, punishment again. But it's back to the idea, it was a communal thing. Now here's another crazy thing, right? So I have an uncle and an aunt. Oh, I have an uncle that's younger by 3 years. I have an aunt that's the same age, and I have an uncle that's 2 years older than I am, right? So my mom's first three kids were born, my older brother's just a year and a half older. He's born in November. I have an uncle who's born in November. I was born in March. My aunt was born in February. My 3 years younger, he was born. So my mom and her mother were pregnant at the same time for my mother's first three and my grandmother's last three, right?
Yeah.
We lived in the same house for a number of years, my grandparents' home. So it was my grandparents, my parents, and then a couple of uncles and aunts. And then across the yard was another house, was used the original house on the land, like a cabin, where my cousins, who eventually had 17 kids, lived. And then across the road was another cousin who may have had 9 kids, right? We, until the time I left home, I mean, the time I moved to, up north in Tennessee at 10 years old, every Sunday, even after you moved into town, Sunday you come back to the church, the home church, and after church, you go to our grandma's house. Everybody gathered there every Sunday. And if you did not show up, everybody in the family know your name was dirt. Right? because there was it was something unthought of, unheard of. You wouldn't show up. You wouldn't not show up because not that's the family.
Family there.
So you yeah. always had you had all these people around you constantly. So no mother was ever pregnant or have children sort of on their own and just kind of figured out. You always had these voices around you going, no, 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 or hey, do this and do this. And they passed it on. Yeah. So yeah, what we're missing now is that whole idea of community and relation and trying to get churches to move to relational learning and with individuals in small groups and not this sort of see you on Sunday and then disappear. Sorry.
So what, did I understand that you grew up, part of your growing up was in Tennessee?
Denmark, Tennessee. And then we moved to Jackson.
I know Jackson. West Tennessee.
West Tennessee.
And Harold, you're not that far from me because I'm right below Chattanooga.
I looked up
Oak Ridge.
Yeah, I lived in Chattanooga for a couple of years also.
I know it's up by a little north of Knoxville.
Yeah.
There used to be a lot of bluegrass and country concerts there.
Absolutely.
Back in the 60s, you avoided the area.
Yeah, I'm sure
if you're black,
I'm sure.
Well, we've got 6:43 coming up, so this is
what I want to say something. See, I shouldn't have been concerned about y'all not doing it.
We have a good time.
I feel like Paul has a story about his childhood.
You know, it's not. Kind of, sort of, but I'd like to throw a different dimension on it because I talked to my mom about an hour and a half ago. She's in a care facility in Mount Vernon, Illinois. Mm. And she's 92 years old. And I think it's fascinating as I've listened to y'all talk and make excellent points. I find it grace-filled that at 92, I'm feeding back to her what she fed to me when I was a little boy.
Yes.
Because her mind's not the sharpest. She asked me the same questions 4 or 5 times when I talked to her. But her question tonight was, just before the program, she says, "How long do you think I'm going to live?" And I said, "Oh, about 60 more years, Mom." She said, "Oh, Lord, that can't be true." You know, and I said, you know, it's in the Lord's hands. You know, he knows the times and the seasons. But he's got a plan, Mom. He's got a plan. And my mother took the opportunity to say once again, and she says it often. She says, "Before you were ever born, before you took your first breath, I dedicated you to the Lord." And she said, "You know, I didn't always do a perfect job or even a good job, but I trusted that he would." And, you know, thinking about that, moments like this are so precious because, as Harold said, you know, we all want to be good moms and dads. But gosh, you know, boy, did I make some mistakes along the way as well. But now my son is he was born in 1973, so what, he's going to be 50, right? So he's 50. My son, my daughter is 42, and I marvel at what they're planting into their children because it has a strange echo of what I tried to plant into them. And it's wonderful to watch that take root and grow. Just last little comment very quickly. My daughter and her kids went to church on Easter Sunday, and they gave the invitation, which a lot of churches don't do anymore, but this one did. And my daughter turned to her son, who's 13, and said, "Would you like to go down?" And he says, "Mom, I do believe it. I believe it's true, and I do want to be baptized, but I want my grandpa to do it." You know? And that was just absolutely precious to me, to think, to watch generationally how God is so faithful to his word. If we will just be obedient to his word, how faithful he is to deliver. And it's a marvelous thing. I actually marvel at it because it's so counter to what we experience in our culture, you know. Yeah. But God is good. So I just want to throw that in.
I'm reminded time. of my Jewish friends, the Shema that they recite. Lord, our God is one. Love you, Lord, mm-hmm. You got all the heart. But the very next section talks about pouring into your children when you get up and when you walk on the way, when you sit down at night. And he says that the command to do that, and you go, why? Because then they will continue to, there's a legacy created there. Right. God has put a thing in place. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's amazing. That's amazing.
I got an idea, Harold. You know what that idea is? I think we got four votes. Is there any way you could come back and do just a talk with Harold and, finish and talk some more on what you had and throw things out that way? I don't know. I thought it was my phone. The clock was off, but it does it every week, huh, Ron?
It does. We got to get a better clock.
We're trying to get 2 hours on the program. We're working real hard to get to 2 hours. A lot of people say, Joe, go to 2 hours. It just costs more to do that. So we're praying on that. But I just want to throw something out. You don't have to answer, but if you were anywhere around on June 26th, we've got one window that just came up. Otherwise, we're booked in the second week of July. But if you could come on June 26th, you could just think about it and we'll just sit down and lead us. Get back, I don't want to put you on the spot or anything. But
no, I will consider that. I'm not quite sure. Yeah. I don't think I have a calendar conflict with that. But this has just been a real blessing to me. We can do whatever. I can kind of pick up on this outline where we left off or do something different. But I've been blessed by hearing your stories. Ron, your family sounds a lot like my dad's family because they're his mom and his oldest sister were both pregnant at the same time, and so he has a niece who is older than he is.
Right.
And so, yeah, you can't tell the players without a scorecard,
Right.
That has a lot to do with Tennessee, I'm pretty sure.
Maybe.
He had it in California, too, just so you know.
Hey, the more hands, the better the farm was working. So.
Yeah, that's the truth. The boys worked on the farm and the girls worked in the house. Absolutely.
I have a proposal for that June 26th one. It is my anniversary. Well, it's also Craig's anniversary. Wow. We're married. But that's right after Father's Day. So maybe we kind of do this, but we do it about fathers because they're also very important. And they offer such a different stuff, right?
See, she's a smart woman. See, I told you, she's just brilliant.
Look at that.
On top of it.
Oh. It happens sometimes.
Well, and I can still use some of the material because we're going to talk about Sarah and Abraham, of course, and God's promise to Abraham had to include Sarah. One can't do it without the other. I'll leave you with this quote. I loved hearing this in a sermon about faith and about Abraham and, at 100 years old, and God says, you're going to be the father of a mighty nation. And of course, Sarah doubted that. And it's not, well, of course she did.
Yes.
It's not a sin to ask questions, not a sin to doubt. But I heard a preacher say one time, this is how you can measure Abraham's faith. He's 100 years old. And God told him he's going to be the father of a great nation. So he went out into the suburbs, he bought a 5-bedroom house next to an elementary school.
Amen. He's ready.
Yeah.
He's ready. He's ready for a house full of kids. Right?
Well, that should be good, wouldn't it, guys? Would be good. I know Tank will be back too, and I know he would love to be on that discussion too with us. That'd be great. So,
we'll be part of my obsession, man. Right up my alley.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. It'll be a home run. Yeah, I keep thinking of all kinds of things, but I want everybody to go ahead and be able to share and talk. But Harold, you blessed my life immensely, you know, and been to a couple of things you've taught. They've just been wonderful. So if that works, if it doesn't, we understand. But if it does, that'd be great.
Thank you, Joe. I will check
it out. Yeah.
Soon as we get offline here, and hopefully we can make that work. And thanks, Stephanie, for that reference to Father's Day. I'll tell you one more thing. I was teaching a Sunday school class yesterday on Mother's Day, and so I like to ask, okay, and I have a little introduction, talk about how important mothers are. How many of your mothers, this is a class of people who are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. Mm-hmm. And so most of the women, they raise their hand. How many of you are grandmothers? And many of them raise their hand. How many of you are great grandmothers? A lot of them raise their hands. And then I'll say, okay, now how many of you are just so-so grandmothers? don't raise your hand.
It's almost like saying in the old days, put your hand up. Somebody mentioned the Holy Spirit, they put their hand down. Yeah. Back to the same.
That's right.
Oh my. Well, tell you what, we've got Harold, we always put a word out. Can you put a word out for us in 45 seconds or 50 seconds, Steph?
Oh, sure.
Because we want to get to that 2 hours. I'm working hard.
I'll try really quick. Okay. Yeah. If you go to bbsradio.com/raising-expectations, you can get all the information about our program. You can also donate there, that little yellow donate button up in the top corner. And there's also instructions if you're not quite sure how to help. We are a ministry that needs to be supported. And the more that you can give, the more we can get out there, the longer we can make these. So we appreciate any and all donations that you give. You can learn about each co-host, the different books, all the things that we have going on. And we just appreciate you coming and hanging out with us each week.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Steph. And folks, somebody said, why aren't you on Venmo? Who's Venmo? But anyway, we're on Venmo.
I can help you.
Joe Scopula, Joe Scopula, whatever that goes, and we'll go from there. So thanks, folks. Harold, thanks so much for being here. You're one in a million. And actually, you've upgraded. It's one in a billion.
I have been more blessed than any of you or any of your listeners. So thank you for inviting and for blessing my life tonight.
Also, he's from Dallas, but it's the Prestonwood or Preston Counseling Center?
Prestonwood. Yeah.
Okay, Preston Counseling Center here in Dallas, right?
No, there's a Prestonwood Baptist Church. There's a Prestonwood Pregnancy Center.
Okay.
And I'm not sure that Prestonwood has a counseling center. I'll tell you I've been good friends with Jack Graham, who is the senior pastor at Prestonwood for many, many years. Right. And he and his staff, they refer their members to me and my colleagues in our counseling office.
And the name of that is what,
Preston,
again?
Oh, Preston Place Counseling Preston is Place the name Counseling. Of our there's lots of Prestons here. PrestonPlace Counseling.com is our website.
Okay.
And I have three colleagues in addition to me who are in our office. And we're all very devout Christians and really are blessed to do the kind of work that we do. We've got a young lady who's a play therapist, a child therapist and play therapist, who is an absolute superstar. All of my counselors are superstars.
There you go. Preston Place Counseling Center, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to run because
PrestonPlaceCounseling.com.
Not so, pressinplacecounseling.com. We'll put that out. We'll get it out 2 weeks in front. We'll keep it coming all the time. All right. Thanks again, Steph, for helping us out there. And hey, God bless y'all. Thanks for tuning in Raising Expectations tonight. And we hope we meet you at the deepest points of your needs, because if that's where you are, turn around, you'll be right there. He's only a prayer away, and then listen to what he has to say. Boy, he's going to be there for you. All right. God bless you. And we'll be back next week. Same time, same station. Hopefully the 26th. We'll see what we can do about getting Harold back here again. Dr. Duncan can share with us. Enjoy. God bless you. Keep you.
Thank you all for what you do and the lives that you touch.
Thank you. God bless. We'll see you next week.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.